We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to Take Time for Jesus program. We're just pleased to report victory in Jesus, and we know that he's still in control. And we know that through his shed blood on Calvary that paid our sin debt, it gave us authority to have remission of our sins only through that blessed name of Jesus. There's no other name given according to the scriptures whereby that we can be saved other than that precious name of Jesus. He was the one who died for us, my friends. He was the one that suffered the persecution from the hands of those that he thought was supposedly to be waiting upon his arrival, but they chose not to receive him, and they suffered persecution even today because they have not received him as their Messiah yet. But nevertheless, with these things that we got to consider, God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, but we need him desperately, especially in these days that we live now. There's no time in our life, even though you may have thought you've done everything on your own and you was permitted to do so only by the grace of God. But my friends, if you've done things contrary to God's keeping and of his commandments and disobedience to him, it will be as though it was with Adam when he disobeyed by eating the forbidden fruit that was in the midst of the garden. Sin fell upon us all because of one man's disobedience. He was drove out of the Garden of Eden where he had everything that he possibly could need, but because of the temptation that he went through, that one time disobedience cast the whole world into sin. But by the grace of God, through the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, made a quickening spirit, God manifested in the flesh, came into this world, and it was in the mind of God from the foundation of the world that he would be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, would make the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, the God in the flesh that came and died for you and I. So his name is Jesus. It's not some other kind of name or whatever. Father is not a name and Son is not a name. It's titles, and the Holy Ghost is the title that God gave his own spirit there. So my friends, we got to realize that there is a name that God declared among man by the written letter that he had the apostles and the men of old to write, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. So, my friends, we need to consider and everything. And as I've often said, read your Bible and find out. There's no other gods besides one. And God, his name is Jesus. It was many titles in the Old Testament, even to he made mention about that they didn't know him as his name Jehovah. But it came to be that when God came to bring forth salvation and the plan of salvation, he declared a name, and he was manifested in the flesh to bring forth that name and was crucified for you and I. But many people today say that God is unjust and there's no justice in him, but that's a lie out of hell, and they're listening to their father, the devil, when they say these things, because God is a just God. He lets it rain on the just and the unjust. He brings things upon people, allows the devil to bring things upon people because of their disobedience. You see, when the devil entered the garden and tempted Eve, then she obeyed and she gave to Adam, and therefore we fell into sin. And the chastisement that was on the man for disobedience, that he was drove out of the garden. So who do you think you are, or who would I think that I am, that I can do as I please, disobey all of God's commandments, and treat him like he's a second grade something or other, or don't need to be reverenced, and think that I'm going to get by with all this? I don't think so, my friend. God declares that he is righteous. He is a holy God, and he declares that we need to be holy, for he is holy. We need to understand that God did not come into this world to die just because it pleased him. He done it for you and I, that we could have salvation, to save us from the destiny that Adam put us in. Sin bringeth forth death, as he told them that when they partook of it, that they would surely die. They lived for several hundred years on in the flesh, but the spiritual application that some people don't understand, that they died spiritually, separated from the presence of God when he drove them out of the garden. So therefore, the bloodline runs from the garden, even from the foundation of the world, even to Calvary. And that precious blood of Jesus paid our sin debt. So we owe him praise and honor and glorify him and lift up his precious name. We've had letters from different ones and saying that they appreciate the broadcast, and I'm so thankful for those. And we got a letter from a man that says that he prays in Jesus' name ministry. And he goes on to say that how this administration that we're under now, that how they tried to bring forth and persecute people for praying in Jesus' name, forbidding our armed services to pray in Jesus' name outside the door of maybe a place where they gather together. My friend, this is not right. I don't care who he is, where he comes from, or who he thinks he is, or where he thinks he's going. My suggestion would be to that administration that would deny God and deny people the privilege of serving the true and the living God is like Paul said, that them that are like the Sodom and Gomorrah are worthy of death, and they will die in their sins according to the scriptures, because they believe not the report that was given by God himself and to his Son, that paid their sin debt as well as yours and mine who believe and trust in him. If they're willing to ignore him, then he's going to ignore him. He said, if you be ashamed of me before this adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father and his holy angel. So they're in jeopardy, honey. But if you lift up that name of Jesus and praying and glorifying God in the name of Jesus, you're going to be the recipient of his blessings and of eternal life. And without that promise, you and I have no life. You may be living as Adam and Eve did. They lived, but their transgressions was upon them. They was deprived of the privilege of having their needs met there in the Garden of Eden, but they had to tilt the land. They brought forth and was suffered persecution in the windup of it. They suffered the same things that flesh people do even in today. I want you to think about that, how that people that think that God is so cruel and so inhuman and so unloving that they think that because he didn't spare his granddad or mother or dad or something other from the things that may have took their life, then he's a cruel God. But I want you to know that he suffered much for you and I, for our salvation of our soul. There's many that's passed on for different reasons, for that various different diseases and one thing or another, cancer and heart attacks and so on and so forth like that. But that may be God's way of bringing them on into the kingdom if they're justified by faith, believing in the true and the living God, trusting in him. See, he didn't promise you eternal life here in this world. He said that we would have troubles. Even Job said, a man born of a woman, his troubles is like sparks fly upwards. So we're going to have troubles. God didn't promise us an utopia life. He gave Adam a life in the garden, which was free from all things and all, but he refused to obey God in that one commandment and brought us into sin. So God is justified to bring us to the place that we're in, that we need to repent. It's plain and simple, my friends, without repentance of your sins and iniquity, that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, without repentance, we will die in our sins. And these people that are going around and trying to destroy the work of God is going to reap the whirlwind one of these days, and that whirlwind is going to be cast into hell without any hope. My friend, those that have been persecuted for his name's sake, they'll receive a reward. And this man that wrote to us and talking about how that they taken things away from him because he prayed in Jesus' name, even at a dedication of some kind, and he was in uniform. My friend, I want you to understand that God helped this nation, that at the time of World War II, the people prayed and God heard the prayers. And he answered us by giving us victory over two enemies that sought to destroy us. As same as he did with them that sought to destroy Israel, he gave them victory, and he will give us victory over these enemies of our soul if we'll hold and be faithful to him. And we're going to be persecuted. He told Paul there one time that when he was a man there that knew the law. He thought he was doing all right when he was persecuting the church of God. I mean, not the denomination that we in the world today, but them that believed and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Back in those days, was called the church of God. But I want you to understand, my friend, no denomination, you can belong to them and still make it, but no denomination, regardless of what it's called, is going to get you a free pass into heaven. So you can put that in the bank. But I want you to think about when Paul went about persecuting the people there that called upon the name of the Lord, then you think that we won't be in the last days? We're in the last days, and we're going to suffer persecution for his name's sake. As he told Ananias, when Ananias said, "Hey, I've heard of this man, how he persecutes your people, how he hauled them off to jail and even helped the minded the cloaks there while they stoned Stephen to death and him calling upon thy name." But he said, "Ananias, you go and pray for him, because he's a chosen vessel of mine, and I will show him many things, and he will suffer for my name's sake." Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus. Are you blinded to the fact of who God is and what his name is today? If you are, my friend, let this word of God that I encourage you to read open your understanding by calling upon the name of the Lord, and let him in. Take the veil off of your eyes and let you see what the scripture says, and let your heart receive the engrafted word of God and believe and receive him as your personal savior. That's what Paul did when he came face to face and that great light of God shone unto him and fell to the ground and he said, "Lord, who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted." It's hard to kick against the pricks. Paul was fighting against the very thing that gave him life. He didn't know. He thought he was doing all things right because he listened to that bunch of yahoos over there that called themselves them people that in the synagogues, high priests, and so on and so forth like that. They were self-righteous, undevoted people to God. They wore their long robes and they all these things, but Jesus spoke to him and said, "You whitewashed the sepulchre, but in it is dead man's bone." And he was talking to, they knew who he was talking about. Their heart was not right with God. And Paul went about and had papers to haul off anybody calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus to jail. He could bring them bound, but God met him on the road and he found out right quick that he was headed the wrong direction. So as many people in this world today headed in the wrong direction. They're on the road to Damascus, or destruction, I might say, because they failed to heed to the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ by the reading of his word. He called us all to repent. He said in the day of the feast, the last day of the feast, when he stood up there and amongst all of them, he said, "He that is athirst, let him come unto me and drink." Many people today is just fooled by the things of this world, the pleasures of life and the desires of the fleshly things. But Paul was there, thought he was doing what was right, because he went with the teachings of Ananias, which was an ungodly man, which they taught the law, but they didn't know anything about salvation through grace. So he went about to do away with them that believed and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. But when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he come to find out that there was a true living God, and his name was Jesus, because he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest, and it's hard to kick against the prick." Paul rose from the ground, and they had to lead him there. And he told Ananias over there, he said, "Go over there to the place called Straight. There's one that prayeth, and his name's Paul, or Saul at that time." Ananias said, "I know of him. I heard of this man, how he persecutes your people and everything." And he said, "Go, Ananias." In other words, Ananias said, "Lord, just leave him blind like he is, and he won't be able to do too much." But he said, "No, Ananias, go on. Do it." And he obeyed him, and he said, "He's a chosen vessel of mine, but I will show him much that he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, he told Ananias it, and Ananias obeyed him and went and prayed for him, and the scales fell from his eyes, and Paul went about, and he went into Arabia, out into the desert there, and God revealed himself to him through revelations, through a revelation that he gave to him, and he became one of the apostles, as he made mention, born out of due season. "I'm not worthy to be called one, but because of the grace of God." Through salvation comes through grace, my friend, not through your dedication to apply to whatever you do and everything. It come by the grace of God through salvation, came through that shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in that atoning price, the blood of Jesus, will bring forth your repentance into salvation and forgiveness of sin. Your works ain't going to help you. And all these people that are fighting against God are going to stand one day, and they are going to weep and mourn because they failed to heed to the call that is in the book we call the Bible. They failed because the God of this world has blinded their minds, deceived them, and they have went from one tragedy to another, and they don't even realize what's going on. Though they may be, as long as they obey the old boy they call the devil, he lets things come good to them in some ways. But in the end, they're going to be cast into hell, and what does it profit them? Their riches, their fortune, and their fame is not going to keep them out of hell, my friend, but it'll be the cause of them most likely going to hell because they didn't call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this man is... I take it to be he's got some concept of God, and I believe he's trying to do what's right, and he's fighting against the administration trying to keep the soldiers from praying in the name of the Lord. My friend, if it hadn't have been for God leading and directing our officers and our commanders back in the day of the war with World War II, we would have no doubt lost. It ain't a bit of doubt in my mind that we would have lost that conflict with the Japan and Germany. But because that they heeded to, God heard the prayers of the praying people of a nation that loved God and have now since kind of almost forgot him. But they loved him back then. They cried out of a depression. I was along about that time, right out of the depression into World War II, and God heard the prayers of the people praying and asking God to help their loved ones, the men and women that were in these wars, and sustain them. This administration is trying to take it all away from them. It's our God-given right to worship him in the spirit and in truth. No government should be in any way trying to take that away from us. I don't care where it is, what world it's in or not, what nation it's in. God gave us a right to worship Him. It was in our Declaration of Independence that we have the right of freedom of religion. And this administration that we're in, whether it be Democrat or Republican, if he goes against the ultimate teaching of God's word, he's wrong. I don't care where he comes from or who he thinks he is. He's wrong. He needs to be taken out and briar whipped with a piece of barbed wire and get it, teach him a lesson. But, my friend, it's time that we got before God. Put our petition and these things on the altar of God with prayer and supplication before God, that he will bring forth a thing that would make these people bow down to him and honor him and give him praise and glory. God can do it, but we need to bombard heaven. We pray for things, and there's program after program on the TV that people are seeking after the fortunes of this world, and these people are praying for these prosperities and everything, and they come up, and it's false teachings, and they go along, like trying to use God as a Santa Claus in the sky. But if you get sick, God's mean. He's not. You don't deserve to be God. He's mistreating me and everything. But he said, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Paul understood that more than any of the other apostles. He suffered much for the name of Jesus. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was put in jail. He was shipwrecked. And all these things, as Job was, he lost it all. He lost his family, lost everything but his wife. But I want you to know, even to his friends turned against him, and they accused him falsely. But in the wind-up, God chastised his friends, and they had to go and give Job some money and bring him back. And he wound up with more than he had to begin with. After his children, he had more children, and there was more fair. Had more camels, more of everything than he lost. So what's the matter with people today? What's the matter with you? Do you think that the riches of this world is going to secure you a place in the kingdom of God? Jesus said it'd be more easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. The rich man is not willing to put down his riches. He's not willing to get on his knees. But you take a camel and unload his burden off of him, get him down on his knees and pull him a little bit, push him a little bit, you can get him through that small opening in the walls that was around Jerusalem. Oh, my friend, today it's scarcely will the righteous make it in. So where is the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? They're going to appear in the judgment of God and be cast into outer darkness. Oh, it's time we take a hold of the horns of the altar, praying and seeking God for a revival to be stirred in the hearts of the people around the world, not just in the United States, but around the world, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, seeking Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body, praying fervently over, constantly bombarding heaven for a move of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to touch the hearts and the minds of the people, that they'll get down and worship God in spirit and in truth, and stop these prosperity preachers from all this prosperity. My friend, God said He would, there in John, when He recorded, He said, if they would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things would be added unto Him. I'm not a rich man. I don't own an airplane. I don't own a Cadillac. I got an old Ford pickup truck. It's getting old like me and these things. I live in a modern house and everything. But I'm rich in the Spirit of God because God is my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ has blessed me with a pretty good age, and I'm still pretty strong. And I appreciate it, and I thank you. But I want you to understand that only God gets to praise. I have done nothing of myself except humble myself at the altar and ask God to forgive me of my sinful nature and help me to be a better person and to live righteous in His sight and give Him praise and honor. My friends, it's time we begin to realize that God is going to bring forth a judgment upon this world, not only just one nation, but all nations. All stand in the judgment of God, and they're going to answer to their sins, and they're going to give an account for all their disobedience. It's not going to be pretty. Some of them that is righteous in the sight of God, and they've been born again, and their name is recorded in the book of life, they're going to reap the blessings of God, and they're going to be given eternal life. Paul went about trying to bring forth an unjust thing on people, but he wound up and he became a preacher of the gospel. He was persecuted, my friends. Them people that was his friends in the beginning turned against him. They sought to kill him because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling upon the name of Jesus. Oh, my friend, he wasn't ashamed of it. He stood up and said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ because it's power unto salvation. There's no other name. No other name given among men whereby you can be saved but at the name of Jesus. So it's time we take into consideration, as I've often said, read your Bible. Don't take man's word for it. Read your Bible. Ask God for the understanding. And if you're sincere and let him come into your life, he will give you a better understanding than you ever dreamed of if you will allow him to do so. But be led by the Spirit, walking by faith, not by sight. Be led by the Spirit of God and not the crazy ideas of some government or some man or something other of that nature. But pray and seek God for his leading and guiding. He will do it. He has me. And he says he had no respect of person. He could take an old dummy like myself and put me into the place to where he can use me for his namesake. Surely he can do some of these people the same way. Oh, my friends, he didn't go into the synagogue to pick his disciples. He went out there to the fishermen, the collector. And even one of them, he said, have not I chose you 12? But one of you spoke of Judas, which he knew was going to betray him, and he did, and he lost more obligated to hold the money because he was a purse carrier. You might say the secretary, a purse, and he wanted a lot of money in the pouch, so he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But afterwards, he threw it a cemetery to bury those that was strangers and so on and so forth. I called it bought the field of blood. Because it was blood money by betraying the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that came to save us from our sins. But he gave in to the devil and he butted. Job won more back than he ever lost. Paul came along and he suffered these things, shipwrecked, being stoned and beaten, thrown in prison, unjustifiable. They thought it was, but it was the things that God said that he said he would show him many things that he would suffer for his name's sake. He went to the Jews first and they wouldn't receive him. So he ripped his garment and he said, shook the dust from him and he said, I go to the Gentiles. That was God's plan. He said, I'm going to send you to Rome. He went to the Gentiles. He went to Rome. But when he pleaded to Felix and them there that governors that were in that these Jews had brought him forth and to persecute him and everything because they said he was wrong and all. But he pleaded there and he said, I'll plead my case before Caesar. So he carried him to Caesar. But on the way he was shipwrecked and many things happened to him. Therefore, that I want you to know that Paul suffered much. But the thing of it is, when he suffered, but also he never charged God with anything, as Job didn't charge God with nothing. He later, Job said, even though the skin worms eat up my skin, I believe, in other words, he said, I will see the Lord standing upon the earth. And when his wife said, go ahead and curse God and die, he said, woman, you speak as a foolish woman. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He magnified God. He worshiped him even in there. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul said that this gospel is salvation unto me. So he went along, and one time he spoke there, and he says, I have not yet obtained, but I strive. I reach for the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus. And therefore, when it come his time to, that he was to be, depart, as he said, he knew that he went to Rome. He felt like, and I believe he knew that that would be the end of his life there in Rome before Caesar, because the stand that he took for the righteousness of God and that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. He stood there, and they went maybe years before he brought him before Caesar, but nevertheless, when he brought him forth, and there in the prisons, he wrote many of the Gospels. He talked to them that was there. He was at liberty to do so. He never diminished. He never sucked up and said, no, I won't do. But he kept pressing toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. He kept telling the people about how sovereign to God was, how loving he was, how that through faith that we can enter into the kingdom of God, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon his name, and accepting the atoning price that he paid for our sins and accepting him as our Savior. He kept preaching the gospel even though he was bound in some way or another, and he was not free to go where he pleased and come to when he got ready. But he was there, bound, but he kept on preaching this gospel. My friends, we got to understand that God, it wants us to uplift him irregardless of what may be the circumstances that we're in or under. If we keep praising and seeking after him, he's going to deliver us. He said he would. He would go with us even through the end of the world. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, but he would go with us. He will allow us to go through trials. He didn't say he would cut them around or keep them from us, but we will have tribulations in this life. And this man that wrote me this letter, I appreciate it. I don't know if he ever heard me on the internet or not. He wrote and said he understood that I stood for the truth and I didn't back down. So I believe that he may have heard me somewhere or another down the line. But nevertheless, whether he did or whether he didn't, I appreciate the letter. But my friend, today we got to realize that we're living in perilous times. We're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. No matter how good you think you are or how much deserving you think that you're owed all the goodness and the blessings of life, somewhere or another you're going to suffer some downfall. It's been in world, it's been around the world all these days, and it's going to continue so until the Lord comes and makes all the crooked straight and does away with the devil and all of his bunch and cast them into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So let me encourage you, keep on seeking God, praying daily, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus with supplication and prayer, forsaking not the assembling together. Go to a place where you can hear the unadulterous word of God, not something that would tickle your ears and scratch your back, but something that will let you know that sin will get you cast into hell. Living in adulterous and fornication and stealing and killing and these things will get you cast into outer darkness. Sin is not going to be enter into the kingdom of God, no matter how little the light might be or how white you think it may. All liars will have their place in the lake of fire. God's the judge. He's a just judge, and he's going to judge justly, and he's going to say to many that's going to say, Lord, we've done all these great things in your name. But he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you, because they never, never really, truly repented. They just come with a form and a fashion. They followed after traditions of men instead of after the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, man can't save you. Jesus died for you, and he's the only name that can bring salvation for your soul. He's the only name that I know of. I don't seek another. Oh, there are plenty of people who've got gods aplenty, but there's only one true living God. He died for you and I, but he lives. If he'd have been like some of these other gods that died in the past, and they're still in the grave, but he was resurrected, as he said. And all things have been fulfilled up to this point, and we've been seeing these things being fulfilled today. Why not trust in the Word of God? Believe and read and seek after the kingdom of God in righteousness and in faith, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. My friend, it's the only hope that we have. You can't rely upon the government. You can't rely upon this one or that one or whatever. They're down to destroy, kill and destroy, as the devil is their God. So why would you seek after something other that cannot save, but seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart? And you suffer persecution in this life, but thanks be unto God that he's got a place prepared that wherein the righteousness will inherit, that the kingdom of God will be theirs to be into, and it will be set in order at the proper time in the day that he has set aside, that no man knows but him. So it's up to you and I. We can enter in or we can say, I hear him say, depart. It's up to you, and I would ask and suggest that you call upon the name of the Lord, believing and trusting in him. Repent of your sins and call upon him and seek after his righteousness, because the righteousness of man is but filthy rag. So it's his righteousness that we're going to have to accept and receive his righteousness. Where in any prayer place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, where I am, that there you may be also. My friends, it's up to you. Read your Bible. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, as Paul made mention. Pray for Israel. Pray for our men and women that are in these wars. Pray for them earnestly, asking God to help them. And as I've prayed many times, wrap his arms to some man or something other that can't say. Ask God to provide salvation for them that fighting for your liberty, for your freedom of speech, for your freedom of religion, in supplication before God, upholding them, that they'll be able to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ without being persecuted by their own government, regardless of who he is or where he's at, what nationality he is, what color his skin or whatever, that he'll be able to, in with freedom of his heart, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with all anticipations of salvation, and calling upon the name of the Lord with freedom and knowing that his country won't persecute him for it. They're going to, because we're living in the perilous times. The times is coming short. All the built in the heavens and in the stars and the earth beneath and in the seas, it's all coming to pass as it said it would. It's all upon us. Read your look at the news, read your Bible, find out what is and what ain't, what is been fulfilled and what's fixing to be fulfilled. We know that how they're trying to bring the Palestinians and the Jewish people at peace, and where they'll try to day that they will share the Temple Mount. But my friend, when they come to make that peace agreement and they're going to cry out peace and safety, the Word of God says it's going to be sudden destruction. So it's time we take the heed and warning to the Word of God. Read your Bible. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep him into your heart. Let him come in and serve him with all diligence, seeking after him with your whole heart. It's time we take them into consideration. Where will you spend eternity? Will it be in the kingdom of God, or will it be in the domains of hell? There's only two places the Bible speaks about. Righteousness will get you into the kingdom of God. Repentance. Just living your old life any old way that you want to and hope that for mercy of God will save you in the end, but you're going to live ungodly, is going to get you cast into outer darkness. Only those that have been born again. When Jesus told Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, and he was in the synagogue, but he thought he was so right. But when he come to Jesus, Jesus told him he must be born again. He said, if you're not been born again, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So where will we spend eternity? Either in hell or in the kingdom of God. If the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? He's going to be lost, my friend. So it's time we take the horn of the altar and seeking God with our whole heart, praying diligently after the kingdom of God, for he can bring us forth into his righteousness. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that died and paid the price for your sins. He's the only one that can bring salvation to you. So why seek another? The government can't do it. No king on earth can do it to it. Even though some of them call themselves to be God on earth, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. There's only one Lord, one Savior, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one that can bring salvation to your soul. So why seek another? Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Read your Bible, my friend. Let me encourage you. Take heed. Read your Bible. And it's God's good pleasure to give the kingdom to the little flock. He's not after giving you riches and untold riches on this world, but he's offered you a kingdom wherein that eternal life, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no death, he'll himself wipe away the tears from our eyes. What more could be more glorious than that? All the riches in this world die. And you could have and own and die and bust hell wide open and ain't done your dime's worth of good because it'd be left to somebody else. My friend, it's time that you can be the recipient of the blessings of God by calling upon him, repenting, and letting him come into your life and therefore have salvation and that great promise that God gave you of eternal life. And a crown, as Paul said, when he knew that his time was come, he knew that his departure was near. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all of them that diligently, in other words, love the Lord Jesus Christ and his appearing. Paul knew that his time was come. You don't know when yours is coming. I don't. But God got it all planned out, my friend. And he's going to bring to pass what is just and unjust. And the unjust is going to reap the whirlwind. And the just is going to be entered into the kingdom of God. So it's up to you. It's between you and God. Not between me and you. It's up to you to serve God in the beauty of holiness. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Seeking after him with your whole heart. Calling upon the name of the Lord. I know I run my mouth here, you might say, and I'm trying to persuade you, not with wealth and the things of this world, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get it right with him, because time is running short, my friend. All the money in the world can't save you, but that precious blood of Jesus paid your sin debt, and he alone can bring you into salvation. But I want you to think about it, that God is sovereign. He don't need us, but we need him desperately. And I pray, God, I need you every moment of my life. The breath still warm from your nostrils that keeps me going. And by his grace, and I love him today, I hope that you will find it in your heart to turn to him. And all the problems of the world is going to be worse and worse as the time goes by. But in the end, if you hold true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, as Job won the prize, as Paul won the prize, and many other patriarchs and the apostles won the prize of eternal life, you also can be a recipient of it. And I pray that God will bless you and keep you. And write to us if you will. And we're not preaching for the wealth of this world, but we're preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to repent. May God bless you. My wife's got something other here now, and we just want you to pay heed, take to heart, and praise God and give Him glory and honor. Read your Bible and see what God has to say to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's my wife.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord this afternoon for allowing me to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart this week. And I want to thank those that have emailed us and everything, and I want to share some with you later. But I am a big fan of the Bible Friend. If you don't know what this little paper is, it's an 8-page paper, and it's got a lot of really good things in it. But this was back in July, August of 2013. It was Charles Spurgeon's Morning is the name of the article. It says, "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God," and that's Acts 14 and 22. God's people have their trials. It was never designed by God when He chose His people that they should be an untried people. They were chosen in the furnace of affliction. They were never chosen to worldly peace and earthly joy. Freedom from sickness and pains and mortality was never promised them. But when their Lord drew up the Charter of Privileges, He included chastisements amongst the things to which they should inevitably be heirs. Trials are part of our loss. They were predestined from us in Christ's last legacy. So surely, as the stars are fashioned by His hands and their orbits fixed by Him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. He has ordained their season and their place, their intensity, and the effect they have upon us. Good men must never expect to escape troubles. If they do, they'll be disappointed, for none of their predecessors have been without them. Mark the patience of Job. Remember Abraham, for he had his trials, and by his faith under them he became the father of the faithful. Note well the biologies of all the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and you shall discover that none of those whom God made vessels of mercy, who were not made to pass through the fire of affliction. It is ordained of old that the cross of trouble should be engraved on every vessel of mercy, as a royal mark whereby the king's vessels of honor are distinguished. But although tribulations is thus the path of God's children, they must have comfort of knowing they have His presence and sympathy to cheer them, His grace as support, and His example to teach them how to endure. And when they reach the kingdom, it will more than make amends for the much tribulation through which they pass to enter it. We have to go through tribulations. We don't like it, but it draws us closer and closer to the Lord. If we didn't have troubles, we wouldn't need the Lord. And a lot of people, and I know people, that they are quote-unquote Christians, and they travel, go on through life, you know, just doing whatever they want to do, and as long as things are going good. Then whenever troubles come their way, they say, "Where was God when I needed Him?" God is right there where you left Him. He is not something, like Brother Compton said, He's not a spare tire you can throw in the trunk of your car, and when it goes flat or you need Him, then you pull Him out, you find out He's flat. Today's the day of salvation. We keep saying tomorrow may never come. We need to search out the Scriptures. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We need to thank Him for all the problems He's put us through, because through His great tribulation, we'll become stronger. There's a day coming whenever I believe Christians are going to be persecuted. They already are. In foreign countries and everything, people are put to death because they won't deny the Lord. But I'm here to tell you today, I just pray that that day comes that I'm going to have enough faith that I'm going to say, I will not. As Polycarp said, for he served the Lord for 80-some years. He said, all these years, the Lord has never done anything to me that I should turn my back on Him now. And so they boiled Him in hot oil. You can go back and you can read all these things. I know there are things that happened in the past, but all these people were strong in the Lord, just as Paul was, Peter, and all those other ones. John, they were all strong in their faith. And we need to be like Job says, even if they slay me, yet will I trust him. And I want to share with you, you know, an email that we have from a lady up in England. She said, I don't want to take much of your time, but I want to say hello and thanks for being on the radio when I need you and God so much. And then we have one from Denver. And I was sinking fast, very deep in sin and things that now I can't even believe that I was a part of. It's better now. My life has changed, and I have Jesus to thank you for that. I like listening to your broadcast. You give me new understanding, and it's making things better for me. And then there's one from, it doesn't say where they're from, but we have been listening to your program, and my husband and I decided we should write to you, tell you that we are enjoying and praying and learning about Jesus. This is such good work, and I know, you know, you don't blow your own horn or anything, but I just thank the Lord. It encourages us to go on. And if you would like a CD or anything we read here on the broadcast, or you can listen to us 24/7 at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. Take time for Jesus. You can find us on there. And you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com or sallygcp4@yahoo.com. You want to help us, it'd be great. Or if you have something we can share with others, you can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. Write to us, encourage us. That's all we want. We don't need a thousands and thousands of dollars the Lord is providing. But if he leads you to help us, it would be great. But our emails, our words of encouragement mean more to us than all the money in the world. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise God. We got to understand, my friends, that if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what have you gained? You just lost it all. But I want you to just to be encouraged, to read your word, to read the Bible and see what God has to say, and that you will obey the scriptures and let him be into your life and a part of your daily life, hour by hour and day by day. And pray for our boys and girls that are in these wars. And pray for Israel. Pray for those that are worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and that God will somehow reveal himself to those that you love dearly, your mother, dad, whoever it might be, your friends and loved ones, your children and everything, calling upon the name of the Lord in faith, believing and trusting in him, put him on the altar and allow God to use that prayer to bring them into the kingdom. It may cause them to suffer a little bit, but the Bible says through much tribulations we enter into the kingdom of God. So don't worry about it if you put them in the hands of God. He said that Paul made mention about it. He said that he was persuaded to believe that what he had committed into God, God was able to take care of. So I believe that myself. As I've said, I'm done well over the 80-year mark, and I thank God for each day, and he's kept me. I drove a truck over the years up and down the road calling upon the Lord, and he kept me from many perils. And I appreciate it and thank him for it. But, my friend, he is not required to answer the prayers of a sinner. No matter, you may pray out to God in a time of distress and everything, but if you don't know him as your personal Savior, he's not obligated to answer you. He just takes care of his own, his children, them that have been born again. So let me encourage you to read your Bible, see what God has to say about it. It's in the book. You don't have to take my word for it or someone else's, but read your Bible. It'll teach you about the prosperity of God's word. and how it would bring forth fortune unto you for life, health, and strength, and it'll be added unto you, but you got to first call upon him. All the wealth in the world is not going to just save your soul. But believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in the sacrifice that he made on Calvary's cross will get you into the kingdom, and that's the only way. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We pray for those that have wrote to us. We pray for our men and our women that are in these foreign countries and in these wars. We pray, God, that you will be merciful to them, protect them and keep them and bring them home safely. We pray, God, for those that have lost loved ones, that your mercy will be with them, and the comfort that only you can give would bless them, O God, and help them to understand that there is a gathering time to come. And if they know the Lord, then we can be, as David said when the baby died, he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. So there is a place of gathering in God's time and in his kingdom, that them that love the Lord shall be gathered together to do me no more parting. So, God, we just trust you and we pray, and we commend it into thine hands, and that we know that you're able to keep. So take it and use it for thy glory, and whatever will be accomplished in that wonderful name of Jesus, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life